Okay, then I will get you started and I will talk to you in a little while.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
And how are you proceeding, my friend?
I'm doing really, really wonderfully well. And I want to say that the questions keep flowing, and I have a great desire for clarification, and I am so appreciative of your willingness to engage with me.
Excellent. I express a tremendous encouragement to you, and that I am always willing to be engaging with you.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to start off with a question that it seems mundane, but in the physical life, people have a tendency to fall in love. It's prevalent. People fall in love, and falling in love, as I'm using the term, is often beguiling, bewitching, and captivating. And I know that there are sexual aspects and constructs, but I wanted to ask about this. It's ubiquitous, the desire to fall in love, and it seems to me that it's related to a basic wish to merge one's identity with another, you know, attention, affection, connection. And I would like to ask if you could speak about falling in love in the physical world.
Very well. I would say to you that this is a very natural process. And let me express to you that, yes, most people do move in the direction of coupling themselves with another individual. Not all people do that, but most of them. And in that, the impetus for that, the reason for that, is not necessarily for procreation. I would say that there is a factor of that, but the reason that people are drawn to couple themselves with each other is because this is the manner in which you can objectively be expressing that interconnectedness. Interconnectedness is somewhat of an elusive concept for humans. That you have created reality that is so steeped in separation that it is difficult to actually experience and understand the not only the concept of interconnectedness, but the reality of it, because your reality is so veiled in separateness and individuality, which is purposeful, but it creates a difficulty in relation to having the actual experience of that interconnectedness between yourself and everything else. And one of the closest experiences that you have naturally, without having to be objectively aware of it, in relation to that subject, is this action manner of speaking, your method to remind you how to love yourself. You don't necessarily automatically remember that concept. And in your reality, most of your societies, not all of them, but most of them, don't promote that. Therefore, they actually instruct and encourage you away from the idea of loving yourself, as if that is a negative and that it is selfish and self-serving, and therefore you shouldn't do that. But naturally, you love other people or other beings, and you express the development of relationships with them in different capacities to remind you how to be loving yourself, and also to give you that avenue, that opportunity to actually experience and express that interconnectedness, which is natural. That is your natural state of being. That is what you are in consciousness. You are interconnected with everything. But you don't know that because of the reality and the structure of the reality that you exist in. And therefore, you have provided yourself with that loophole, in a manner of speaking, in which, despite the structure of this particular reality and the emphasis on separation, it still has the provision that you can be experiencing that interconnectedness and that lack of separation to a degree by engaging in relationships with other individuals in which you can express that love in a genuine capacity. In a genuine capacity. Now, the receiving aspect of it is very important because that is what actually, in a manner of speaking, teaches you to love yourself. Because it encourages you and it tells you that you are worthy and deserving of love. That you can love yourself and that you deserve to do that and that you are worthy of doing that because someone else can. Therefore, if someone else can love you, you can definitely love you also.
So that reassurance, that verification can be, I guess, practiced or imitated in the beginning so that we love ourselves unconditionally.
Yes.
It's not an automatic thing, Elias.
I understand and I agree, but as I expressed, you have given yourself that provision that it isn't entirely removed from your physical reality. You provide an avenue in which you and express that.
Right. Well, thank you. I have a list of questions, and I'm going to skip by some because the next one I'm going to ask or speak and ask you about relates to interconnectedness and separateness. I had an experience not long ago with my disengaged partner, and I connected with him, and my energy was adjoined to him, and we were moving together in a non-physical energetic sense. And I turned around in this experience, and I saw the space around us was consisted of like minuscule moving sounds or tones. And these notes, they weren't orchestrated or composed in any way. And in this experience that I had, I understood that the space or the field around us was composed like a basic components of energy ready for composing and creating. And I may have interpreted this metaphorically, but it seemed quite real to me. And then I realized that this energy is not on the outside, it's passing through me and through everything and everyone. And that experience gave me like a flash into how we're all, everything's connected. But you had said that in the non-physical world, it's quite foreign compared to what we know in the physical. And here in the objective world, everything's separate. Our bodies, our identities, we have names, our language, the nouns and actions, verbs, they accentuate separateness. But in the non-physical, I would imagine that everything is interconnected and that our energy is flowing and merging continuously. And I know you said it would be foreign to understand it, but I'm wondering if you could describe the non-physical world.
I would say that your interpretation of that is considerably accurate. That it is somewhat the reverse of what you are accustomed to. I would express that what is significantly different also is that your reality has two basic components. The one is physical and the other is emotional. Emotional is the communication, the physical is the action. And what I would say to you in that is that the most obvious and significant piece that is different non-physically is that there is no emotion because it isn't necessary. Emotion is a communication avenue. It is an avenue of communication that exists between the subjective awareness and the objective awareness, from the subjective to the objective. Non-physically, there is no objective awareness. Therefore, there is no perception, no objective awareness, and there is no necessity for emotion. In that, that is the most obvious and challenging difference in the reality of your physical reality and non-physical reality. In this, you translate Now, in that, what I would say to you is that when you are thinking about the non-physical reality and you remove that emotional component, that might seem somewhat frightening or incomprehensible, but in relation to the natural expression of interconnectedness and that there is no separation, then you understand that there is no need, there is no necessity for emotional expression, because you don't require that to connect with yourself or with others or with anything.
So when you are referring to no emotions, are you referring strictly to the communication, but you're also saying there are no feelings?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, because the feelings are a signal. And in that, there is no necessity for that signal.
Because there is no duality between subject and object, objective. There's no physical. It's all subjective.
Correct. And in that, all flowing in that interconnectedness, and therefore there is no necessity for any of those extra steps in the manifestation.
So let's say I'm in the non-physical and I don't have emotion and I look on the events of my focus life in a neutral way. And in that physical focus, I did something egregious. I murdered my lover, and maybe I felt remorse in that life. When I'm in the non-physical looking at that focus life without emotion, would I simply see it as an experience without attributing any right or wrong?
Yes. Because it simply is an experience. You generate an assessment of whether it is right or wrong. But even that, I would say, depends on the perception of the individual. There are individuals that commit that act of murder and they don't feel remorse and they don't perceive it as wrong. And in that, they aren't expressing a judgment of themselves, because they don't have the perception that what they did was wrong.
Right, and there are cultural differences and beliefs and so forth.
Correct. Therefore, it is a matter of perception and the individual.
So,
and that I express so often the significance and the importance of perception. Because that is the mechanism that actually creates your reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm in the non-physical, I have a certain level of awareness, I guess. And are my choices there and my creations driven, my desires driven by that awareness?
Yes.
And do I still have preferences, like preferences that might be derived from my aligned focus or my essence belonging or both?
No, not necessarily, because your alignment and your belonging to and relation to essence families is relative to this business. physical reality. It isn't necessarily applicable to other physical realities, and it isn't applicable in relation to non-physical realities. It is specific to this reality. It is a part of your blueprint in this reality that essences have grouped together in relation to the design of this reality and have expressed particular qualities that are generated in relation to these essence families. But once again, it is relative to this reality and not necessarily to any other reality. Therefore, would your desire be influenced by the qualities of the essence families? No, not necessarily. Your desire is expressed in relation to your curiosity.
Mm.
What you are curious about, what you want to explore, what you want to discover that is new. And in that, how you expand, that is the nature of consciousness, is expansion. Consciousness is continuously expanding and folding in on itself. And therefore, that is a natural action that you would automatically be engaging. You would be expressing that desire in relation to expansion and discovery.
Mm-hmm. And how might I view the experience of my physical life as Jacqueline? Would I see it maybe as a dream and can focus in on the details? Or I don't have the emotion. How would I look on the experience of my focus life in from the non-physical?
Therefore, you also are not observing it necessarily from the perspective of right or wrong, or good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is somewhat tricky because even in that question, there is inherent the idea of separation.
Mm-hmm.
That your essence isn't you. That your essence is something else that is observing you, and it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is you. Therefore, it isn't that you would be observing yourself from a perspective of being something else. You would be observing yourself in the same manner that you observe yourself in your focus. You can observe yourself in what you are doing at any given point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't separate yourself from the experience of observing what you are doing. You are aware that that is you observing you.
Mm-hmm.
But you are also experiencing you. And that is what you do as essence also. The difference would be essence, choose to disengage your experience from a particular physical reality. Therefore, once the final focus of your essence signals and designates that you are finished with your exploration of this reality and that your focuses will be disengaging and you will not be participating in this reality any longer. At that point, then you are observing from a different perspective. Then you are observing but not participating any longer. Therefore, your observation would express a different quality.
Oh, that's really interesting. So our observation, even from the non-physical, before the final focus has signaled, we're sharing, we're interacting, we're communing with, we're participating. Wow.
Therefore, you can be in the position of observation, but you are also simultaneously in the position of participating. Therefore, you are doing both. And in that, your experience is different. It isn't only that of the observer.
Right. Understood. Well, I have so many questions, Elias, and it's so exciting. These aren't totally related, but does gender exist? By gender, I mean opposites of qualities. I know there's no sex, so there's no male, female per se, but are there qualities of gender that exists?
Non-physical?
Yeah.
No, that is also unnecessary.
Okay.
There is an invention that is designed in relation to certain experiences and procreation. Therefore, that is relegated to physical experiences, physical realities. It isn't necessary in non-physical reality because you don't have that factor of separation. Therefore, even in a very loose interpretation, because this is definitely not literal, but in the loose interpretation of fragmentation, you could loosely interpret that as essences procreating, that essences are dividing and creating almost what you would think of as offspring, although that is definitely a very loose translation.
Go ahead.
That is an automatic action that essences are engaging continuously, and there is no necessity for there to be any coupling to accomplish that.
So is there pairing? Is there pairing in the non-physical?
There can be, but there isn't a necessity for that.
Okay. I just want to clarify the question about the gender. In the physical, I'm a female. My essence name is Katie, and to me that represents a part of me that loves sweetness and support and not so much child rearing, but nurturing and not aspects of war or an antagonism like other essences might enjoy and are wonderful as well. But would I retain, could I, if I chose to retain certain qualities that I love, that I have loved in, especially in being a female here in the physical, would these, I'll call them sweet qualities of Katie, could I choose those as my expression?
But you do. You are.
You're saying that's who I am. That's a part of me as I choose to be.
That is a part of, yes. Yes. Now, is that overall your expression? Not necessarily, but it is definitely a part of, and it is an important part of.
Mm-hmm.
I would express that it doesn't, nothing is lost in essence.
Okay.
Therefore, everything is important, and everything is valuable, and all of your experiences are a part of that. And in that, your preferences in a particular focus are also not lost.
Okay. So it's a choice, and it's an expansion. That's great. Now, after being disengages and he's no longer or she's no longer objectifying, well, I'll just put the question out. It's hard to talk about these things because I think in terms of words and things, and that makes for separation, but bear with me if you...
Precisely, which is the reason that I expressed in the manner that I did with you previously, because you are filtering everything through your physical experience and what you know.
Right. Well, and that was why I was sharing with you my experience with my disengaged partner, you know, and all this, these notes all around us, because I'm really wanting to open up to see things, even here in this physical, to see things with a connection. But when I would be in the non-physical, can I choose an activity of service or study or design? Sort of like I look at you and you have chosen to interact and to teach and to help us bridge the experience of the shift. And you may be doing many other things, because I assume in the non-physical we can have many attentions simultaneously. But might I, for example, choose to help others in the process of disengagement, or help others enter the physical world, or design bodies, or teach? Or I would assume that there would be opportunities of an infinite variety.
Yes, you are correct. I would say that in some capacities, you as people in your reality, you have some translations already of different activities that some essences choose to be engaging when you are not actually physically participating in physical focus.
Mm-hmm.
Some focuses that have disengaged, and then what they move on to in their experience, because I will remind you that you don't absorb into essence when you disengage. When you die, you aren't absorbing into something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
That is, once again, another translation in relation to separation. That doesn't happen. But I would say that yes, there are individuals, as an example, that think about what they term to be metaphysically as light workers. That is what you translate in your reality. And what they essentially express that they would be doing would be aiding individuals when they disengage. Now, their interpretation in physical focus of that is somewhat distorted, but it is somewhat of a bleed-through of knowledge that being an action of being helpful to individuals when they disengage, or to be helpful to individuals when they are about to engage non-physical transition, in which they are shedding their beliefs and their objective awareness that is connected to a particular physical reality. That is simply one action that you might choose to be engaging. There are infinite choices.
Okay. In the physical dimension, we often have a deep bonding that develops. Is that remembered or continued in the non-physical? And how about when individuals in the physical affirmatively dislike one another? Is that continued in the non-physical?
No.
Really?
No. Because that is an experience that is also delegated to
emotions.
Physical reality. And yes, it is connected with emotion.
Okay.
That, remember, love is not a feeling. You many times as humans translate it to be a feeling, but what you are actually doing is you are connecting with affection, and you are defining that as love, which it isn't. And in that, affection very frequently accompanies the expression of love, but they are not the same.
Okay. So there may be coupling,
yeah,
or there may not be, but there can also be the continuation of a bonding.
Oh, there definitely is that continuation.
Okay.
But it isn't necessarily expressed in relation to an emotional saying that, I would say that definitely in relation to experiences and relationships that individuals have or create in adversarial roles, those definitely, they are remembered, they are incorporated into your experience, but they aren't continued, non-physically.
So it's sort of like two actors going on stage and fighting and then getting off stage and laughing about it, or...
Yes, 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 that would be an excellent metaphor, yes. Mm-hmm.
I have some, well, I have many questions, but some of them relate here to the physical life. It seems that particular geographical or cultural areas resonate more for some individuals than, you know, some places are more resonant for an individual. But here in the physical life, we have factors like economics and climate and family that influence an individual's choice as to where he lives. I've lived in different countries and many cities and have enjoyed most of them. But I wonder, how important is physical location to an individual's expansion and experience? And does that change, can it change, at different periods of one's life?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I would say that, yes, that your physical location is significant, and it does play a significant part in your experience, in your movement, in the ease of your movement or the difficulty of your movement. I would say that many individuals may reside and exist in physical locations that they don't necessarily resonate the strongest with, but they don't not resonate with. And therefore, they experience somewhat of a neutrality in relation to where they reside, the physical location. And that doesn't hinder their movement or their experiences, but their experience would be significantly different if they did genuinely, strongly resonate with a particular physical location. Now, when an individual does strongly resonate with a place, they generate a very different experience. Just as you expressed that you have been in different places, you have lived in different places that you genuinely love. That is definitely a factor. If an individual genuinely resonates strongly with a physical place, they generally will express that they love this place. And that has a strong impact on their experiences, because whatever they do becomes easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are comfortable where they are. Therefore, their experiences are easier, they flow more. And in the reverse, if you reside in a physical place that you don't resonate with, that can also be very affecting in the reverse capacity, in which whatever the individual's experience is, it can seem much more difficult. The individual can every direction because they aren't comfortable and because they aren't happy. And therefore, everything seems more difficult. Everything seems heavy. And that affects their experience and how they accomplish or what directions they move in. And it very strongly affects their choices.
But it's not permanent. It could be that they're in a place that they resonate with for 10 years and then it's time to move to another place.
That also can be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that can be. Now, generally speaking, I would say that most individuals, if they discover a physical location that they do resonate with strongly, generally speaking, they will maintain that. If they remain in that place, they will maintain that strong resonance for the entire time that they remain in that place. But it can change. It isn't set in stone.
I want to ask you about me in particular. I have a bold nature that just loves, I love change and I love to move and I'm excited by it all. And I lived in Rome in Italy for almost a year, and it was during a period of time that it just transformed me. Not just the art, but I had fear, and the Romans are militant, fearless, and it expanded me. But I don't know if that would be the right place for me at this particular time, being I'm 76 now, and I like my creature comforts. But I wondered if you can tell me if there's a particular location or area that would resonate with me more than others.
I would say that that is one physical location that you would still resonate with.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there are many different places that you resonate with. I would say to you that where you are presently, you resonate with well, not necessarily optimally, but you do resonate well with it. And I would say to you that you would resonate with places that indirectly encourage self-expression and freedom,
mm-hmm.
being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you resonate with in your present area. Now, what I would say is it isn't necessarily something that is an overt expression. It isn't that you resonate with places that are crusading for personal expression or freedom, but that it simply naturally is expressed, that well, if you are observing, if you are looking for it, you will notice that the people around you are not afraid to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That difference is not necessarily a concern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That difference isn't bad, and that It isn't something that people are afraid of. I would say where you reside now is definitely a location that difference is accepted.
Right. In Las Vegas, anything goes. You see every kind of expression of, you know, good, bad, and ugly is accepted.
Precisely. I would say that in many areas of Italy, and definitely in Rome, that also is very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
That people are not afraid to express themselves. That it is a natural action. That people will express themselves in whatever manner they choose, and that is acceptable.
The other thing about location for me is I was raised in the East, not far from the coast, and things are green and fertile. And although I choose to live in a place in Las Vegas where there are big trees, it doesn't even look like a desert. There are man-made lakes, several lakes, and it is lovely. I want to say I hunger for the green, and I don't have that here, but I have man-made green, so to speak.
I understand. And in that, what I would say to you is that it definitely is a matter of preference. That you, as I expressed, you do resonate well, not optimally, but well, with the physical location that you inhabit now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That works for me. If it's time to move, I'll know it.
Yes.
I don't have any fears if I have to move. It's okay, and I'll know it, I'm sure. I want to better understand value fulfillment. And the first questions are, is it driven by my desires and exploring my theme?
Yes. Definitely.
Is it dynamic in that as I expand awareness and experience, might my value fulfillment extend beyond what it would have before certain expansion? You know, I'm looking at what makes its completion.
I would say that it is completed when you are, in a manner of speaking, satisfied with your curiosity in relation to your desire. Therefore, that can be completed when you are 120 years of age, or it can be completed when you are 5 months of age. It is a matter of what your curiosity drives in relation to your desire.
So in that sense, it could be dynamic in that one moment my curiosity may be waning a little, but then it could be stimulated.
Correct.
So it's not a fixed amount. Okay, 100% is this experience, this, and this. It's totally up to me in any given moment what I want to explore. And if, how would I become more consciously aware as I would approach the completion of my value fulfillment?
Is question and actually somewhat of a simple question is that when you are approaching the completion of your value fulfillment, you are actually expressing a satisfaction. Not being tired of life.
Wow.
That is not the indicator. I would say that it isn't a matter of you reach your value fulfillment when you are not interested or you are tired of life. No, that isn't it. When you reach a point in which you are entirely satisfied with your experience, that is the time framework in which you have likely reached your value fulfillment, the completion of your value fulfillment for that focus.
So I can be very happy and satisfied, but if I'm still hungering for more experiences, I would have more value fulfillment to complete. Okay. And I have hopefully the beeper just went off, but I have a quick, hopefully a quick question about our physical bodies. When we're born into, when we create our physical bodies, do we impress the body with selective memories and even our focus type and orientation? Is that impressed into our physical body consciousness?
Your physical body consciousness holds all memory. All memory. And in that, your body consciousness also is infused with these qualities of your gender, your emotional expression, your focus type, your qualities of essence family, all of it is infused into your physical body consciousness. Yes.
Wow, and that is who I am. That's not separate from me. Well.
Correct. This is the reason that I have expressed many times, your body is not simply a vessel. It is a physical projection and manifestation of you, of who you are.
Well, Elias, thank you so much. I don't want to go over time here, and I'm very grateful for the clarity that you've helped me with. Thank you. Thank you.
I express tremendous congratulations in all that you are accomplishing, my friend. And in that, accept my dear lovingness to you as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.